You say, but Wayne, I'd like to have these friends, but how do you gain them? Well, first of all, would you write in your notes there, if you want to win friends, first, be one. Be a Jonathan. In fact, let's read the scripture together under that point. Go. A man that has friends must show himself friendly.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, we learned that everyone needs a friend who is committed to God's best in your life, who loves Jesus and you in that order. Well, today we'll learn that everyone needs a friend who is a lightning rod. What exactly does that mean, you ask? In a moment, Pastor Wayne has part two of a message entitled, Everyone Needs a Jonathan. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope. Here now is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, Everyone Needs a Jonathan.
Who's shy? I'm not shy. You shy. He's shy. No, who's shy? Who's shy the Archite? A friend from the north. He'd say, well, what was the quality of who's shy? And why should I make room for a who's shy? It's in 2 Samuel 15, when Ahithophel, which is one of David's cabinet members, defected to Absalom, his rebellious son. The rebellious son of David that wanted to usurp the father's throne and to get everything the father had for himself, including the wives and concubines. And he went on a killing spree, pushed David out of Jerusalem. And David, in knowing that people were obviously going to capitulate to this rebellion, he decides to take his entourage and leave the city and hide. Otherwise, he would not be able to escape this killing spree. And he's going up to the Mount of Olives, the very same place where Jesus himself would kneel and be with the Father. David was going up to the Mount of Olives when one of the very first people he encountered was a man named Shimei, a curser. Cursing at David, cursed him, swore at him, you're not as good of a king as you thought you were. How does this feel? You're getting driven out. And I'm sure David just wanted to punch him. In fact, one of his men said, let's punch him. And he said, no, no, just leave it. Another was throwing stones at him. Let's kill that guy. He's throwing stones at you. No, maybe God asked him to throw stones. I don't know. But I'm sure he, being human as anybody else, was getting upset at all of this. But another that he encountered was the man Hushai. Hushai was a dear elderly man, must have been older, because when he said, David, could I go with you and encourage you and attend to you? David said, no, if you went with me, you would be a burden to me. That intimates that he must have been an elderly man, older than David, and it would have slowed down the speed of his entourage escaping. So he said, no. But he stopped and talked about counsel, Ahithophel's counsel, maybe him going back to Jerusalem and thwarting that. But what should I do about these things? And there was a discussion. Maybe he talked about Shimei. Man, that guy just cursed me. What should I do? And Hushai, an elderly man, gave him wise counsel. And then as David continued, the story goes where Hushai the Archite went down to Jerusalem to try and stay the hand of Absalom to give his friend time to escape. He said, I'll take care of that counsel that Ahithophel's giving. Let me take care of the counsel. I'll work it out. And I'm for you. I got your back. And David must have poured all of his sorrows on Hushai. Must have asked him, what should I do with this guy? And he said, no, you just keep going your way. Keep going your way. And we'll give you some distance. And he did exactly that. You know what I call a Hushai? A Hushai is this. Would you write it down? Someone who's a lightning rod, a lightning rod. Make room for someone that you can pour your sadness out on. Someone that is objective. Because when you're going through distress or depression, discouragement, you're very subjective. It's like the whole world is falling down on you. Your marriage is bad, your family's bad, your life is bad, everything is bad. You need a Hushai, you need a lightning rod that has an objective viewpoint. Why do you call them a lightning rod? Well, you see, in the Midwest, often there are electric storms, and lightning will strike. Then if it hits a tall building, it will fry the infrastructure's computer cabling. And all that's hooked up to anything electrical, it will just go through the wires and fry everything with a power jolt, a power surge. So what they will do is they will extend a lightning rod higher than the building so that when lightning strikes, it's finding the closest pathway of least resistance. It'll hit that lightning rod, and it's actually grounded, so it protects the building from the lightning strike because it grounds that electricity. A person who's a Hushai is like a lightning rod, where when you're upset, instead of exploding on your family and exploding on your wife and causing collateral damage that's going to take weeks or months to repair, we need to make room and find a lightning rod where I can go to someone, it's usually, not always, but usually someone older than me, where I can go and just barf out my sorrows. And that person will just ground it. It's like, it's okay. And they see things far more objectively than I do. I'm very subjective, but they'll say, no problem, no problem. And let me help you with the counsel. Let me take care of this for you. And they watch your back. I have a few men in my life that play that role that are elders to me, older than I am. One of them is Dan Shima. Dan is now an elder in the church, but we started together here in New Hope 18 years ago. And he's 10 years my senior, but I will go to him and pour out my upsetness or discouragement, and he'll have a far greater objectivity that says, here's what we'll do. You go this way, I'll do this for you, we'll take care of this. And what could have fried a church, fried a family, fried a situation is now spared from that because I have someone that I made room for in my life called a lightning rod. You need a Hushai. Do you have one? If you don't, you'll make mistakes again and again, and you'll spend half of your life just digging out of the holes that you put yourself in because of angry, discouraging, tired words that are words of desperation or words of discouragement. You need that lightning rod. Now, let me give you a sidebar. For some of you, your spouse may be a good lightning rod. For me, Anna is not a good lightning rod. She loves me so much, and she's fragile and sweet and kind, that except when she hears that someone said something bad to me, she turns into this little mini Doberman pincer, you know, and she's only like this tall. And so when she hears, what did they say? What did they do? You know, it's just little thing here. She's so cute. You put her on your rear view mirror. But I remember, you know, for example, in Hilo, we had a board meeting, and a board member just went off the hook. And I went home that night, and I said, Anna, you know what happened? I told her about this guy that just went nuts on me, just got really mad and called me these names. And I said, I don't know what got into him. And she said, what? He said what to you? Who does he think he is? And she said, let me at him. You know, let me at him. I said, oh, no, but that was really bad. And she said, oh, man, that's just so bad. He shouldn't have done that. Well, the next day, he called me early in the morning and said, hey, Wayne, I'm so sorry. You know, I was so tired. I said stuff, and I'm so sorry. I said, hey, no problem. I'm sorry, too, man. I could have reacted better, and I didn't, and I'm sorry, too. Forgive me. Oh, forgive me. And, oh, man, I love you, man. I love you, buddy. I love you. All right. Okay, we're good. We're good. All right. Click, you know. The only thing is I forgot to tell Anna that we had resolved it. So that Sunday, he comes walking in the back door, and my wife is standing next to me. And when he goes by, she looks at him and what are you doing? I'm going to scratch out his pupils. I said, for what? Because he said that thing to you, and he went off the hook after you. I said, oh, no, honey, the very next morning, we worked it out on the phone. He's fine. I'm fine. It's cool. She said, and you didn't tell me? Well, you know, I didn't think I needed to. She looked at me and I said, put your claws away. It's all right. You know, Anna is not the best lightning rod for me, but I will still share things with her, but it's usually from the victory side of the equation rather than the unresolved problematic side of the equation. When things are yet in process, I'll be very careful to share. In fact, by the way, did you know that the higher you rise in influence in your corporation or your organization, the more cautious you need to be with whom you share unresolved problems? Because it causes them to get really skittish, and you can fry a bunch of people. I wish I would have learned that earlier on. Because sometimes I just make friends pretty easily, and I just share stuff, and I think, oh, man, I don't know if they can if they've got the groundedness to be able to hand that and resolve it. So I'll share stuff with Anna, but it's more from the victory side. After I've resolved it, I'll say, here's what's happened. Here's what has happened, and here's how we resolved. And then she'll say, oh, that's wonderful, wonderful. So I still share it with her. So you say, Wayne, but if you've got problems and you don't have yet a lightning rod, how do you resolve it if you don't talk to anybody? You got to talk. I said, yep, without gossiping, you have to talk. But here's the difference. You can resolve a problem like a movie critic looking at a bad movie and saying, what a bad movie it is, what a bad set of actors you had, bad casting, bad ending, bad everything. Or you can look at a problem and talk about it like a master surgeon looking at a fracture or a problem or a bone spur, looking at an x-ray, looking for the problem, discerning where the problem is, detecting where the pain is coming from. But you can look at problems as a movie critic, or you can look at a problem as a master surgeon would. Both of them deal with problems, but one is looking as what's bad with the movie just to make judgment. This one is looking for the problem, detecting where the pain's source is so that they might rectify it. When you deal with problems, if you're willing to rectify it, great. If you're not, don't be a movie critic about other people's lives. It's too dangerous. So we still need to deal with problems, but deal with them correctly. And when it comes to a lightning rod, choose them wisely, and your spouse may or may not be that lightning rod. So choose that wisely. With my wife, I share things with her, but it's more from the victory side of the equation. So look for a lightning rod. And then lastly, everybody needs, here's the toughest one, a Nathan. Ouch. Do you remember Nathan? You see, David saw Bathsheba, had an affair with her, finds out later that she's pregnant, has to get rid of the evidence somehow, so her husband, whose name is Uriah, one of David's generals, is sent to the front lines of the next battle to ensure his death so that he can quickly take Bathsheba, now a widow, as his wife, and no one will know about this pregnancy because it'll probably be either his or maybe it was Uriah's before the battle, but he ain't talking because he's dead. So not only does he mess up with Bathsheba, then he tries to cover it over by putting her husband on the front line of the battle to kill him. When all of that seems to be smoothed over, he takes Bathsheba as his wife. Now Nathan is very concerned about David's, not his popularity, because he smoothed out his popularity. Nathan is concerned about David's integrity. See, you need to have some friends that help you deal with things horizontally, work out relationships, but some need to be concerned about your relationship vertically. Not your popularity, but your integrity. And Nathan came to David and said, how you doing? Oh, good. He said, friend, come sit down. Have some tea. Nathan said, I've got a problem. Would you help me? Sure, David said. Well, you know, there's a guy down the street. He's really poor. He's got one lamb, one. Raised that lamb from when it was a ewe, brand new, born, and he raised it like his own puppy. It's all he has. Now, there's a higher official the other side of the road that has hundreds of sheep. Now, one of the official's friends was coming through town to visit, and he wanted lamb chops. So instead of taking one of his hundreds of lambs, he went to this poor man with his one lamb and said, I want to take yours and kill it to make lamb chops for my friend. And this man said, please, this is the only thing that I have. Please take one of your hundreds of sheep and have mutton chops for this guy or lamb, whatever you want, but this is all I have. The higher official nevertheless rejected that man's plea, took that lamb, slaughtered it, and had lamb chops. What should I do? David was enraged. He said, who is that man? Nathan said, my friend, you are that man. And all of a sudden, he realized what Nathan was saying. David then repents. God works it all out. And he's put back on a right relationship with God because of a man who was more concerned about his integrity than he was about David's popularity. You have to make room for friends like that. It's an actual office. It might be described as someone to whom you've given permission to speak into your life. Because there's going to be times, even in your marriage, you'll be struggling with deception, thinking that I got to go in this direction, believing it as true, but it's not. You need someone to step into your life and speak into your life. Because let me, hear me out, it's not what people don't know that will harm them. It's what people do know, but it's not true, that will hurt them. It's not what people don't know that'll harm them. It's what people think to be true, but is not. That's what harms them. And that's when you need a Nathan to come in and speak as a friend to you, give you an objective viewpoint on life. Have you given someone permission to speak into your life? Three friends we need to find. What were they? First was a Jonathan, and then a Hushai, and then a Nathan. You must make room for those, because they are God-appointed friends. You say, but Wayne, I'd like to have these friends, but how do you gain them? Well, first of all, would you write in your notes there, if you want to win friends, first be one. First be one. Be a Jonathan. In fact, let's read the scripture together under that point. Go. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. It's not always easy to be friendly, is it? Because you want people to hear a piece of your mind. And I want to give them a piece of my mind. But you have to be careful. Because if you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. And I found that out just the other week. I was up in Oregon. We're going to dig a little pond at the farm just for something, you know, for some fish and stuff. So I went to the permitting department because everything has to be permitted. And especially as a pastor, I don't want to build without permits because then, you know, it's not good. So I went to the building permitting department. And I said, I'd like to build a pond and I want to just get an application to get a permit for it. I thought it was just, you just apply and you get it. So the lady said, well, where's the pond going to be? I said, here. And she said, do you got a plot plan of your acreage? So I said, no, I'll get one. So I went and got one. Here it is. Do you know how big your pond is to be? I said, well, I don't know. How much dirt are you going to take out? And I'm thinking, why do we need all of this? I just want to do a little pond. And so, but I thought, just be cool. Because if you push back on them, they will push back on you and you get nowhere. So I said, well, here's how, and she said, well, how many cubic yards of dirt are you going to take out? Cubic yards of dirt. So I was counting in my mind, you know. So I said, X amount. And she looked on a scale and she said, that'll be $690. I said, $690. I'm not going to buy any dirt from you. It's my dirt. And I'll use my shovel, I promise. And I'll supply the labor. She said, yes, $690. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. So, but I'm really being nice on the outside, but I was that far from blowing up. And I'm thinking, this is so stupid. So I said, now, why do we need this permit? Well, that's the regulation. That's a statutory thing, you know, of our county and this and that. I said, okay, thank you. And just be kind. So I was asking her, well, could you explain this? What are my benefits of this permit? So I said, you know, what would be the benefits if I get this permit for $690? She said, basically nothing, and you just get a permit. I said, wonderful. This is just wonderful. And then, and I just was that close to leaning over the counter and saying, who do you think you are, God? I didn't say that, though. I'm glad I didn't, because she probably would have said yes. So I wrote out a check, and I said, here you go. And by the way, I said, thank you, because you've been so helpful. And in my mind, I'm saying back to myself, you lie. So I wrote that check and gave it to her. And she said, well, you bet. Here's your permit. I said, well, thank you so much. This has been really helpful today. Thanks. And then as I turned to leave, she said, oh, by the way, I turned around. I said, yes. She said, I listen to you every morning on the radio. I said, whoo. You just don't know And it's required that if we want to be have friends, we must first make ourselves friendly. Yeah.
You have just heard part two of a message entitled, Everyone Needs a Jonathan, by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. For the past 2 days, we have learned about the types of friends we all need. Well, tomorrow we'll learn about two types of friends we need to lose. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.